You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. We pray that today's message encourages you in your faith journey.
Good evening, church. I'm really excited to share the word with you tonight. And to start off, I'd love to show you a photo I took last year, if we have that up on the screen. It's a picture of a sunrise and, you know, kind of a beautiful little scenic shot. And it's in portrait because it was it's the wallpaper on my phone. But the real reason that I love this picture when I look at it, it's not the sunrise, it's not the landscape, it's the things you associate with that picture. This was taken last year while we were camping with a bunch of friends and our family. And when I look at that photo, I think back to that camping trip. I think back to just the time to be able to invest in our kids and the absolute ball they had at this caravan park, the time to really connect with friends and build meaningful relationships. The time it was for me to sit on the bank, I got up nice and early before the kids got up, before everyone else got up, and just that moment of peace and kind of collecting your thoughts and being able to just really embrace the scenery and the landscape around you. You can see, you can't really see, but down the bottom right-hand corner is a faint image of my fishing rod. And I'm a man of many hobbies. I like new hobbies. And last year, fishing was the hobby that I took up. And so it reminds me of just the joy of learning something new and finding a new thing that I could really connect with my dad and my father-in-law. It makes me think of when Jacob, my son, was sitting on the bank of that lake with me fishing, and we just had one-on-one time, and the joy on his face when you caught a fish, and those sort of things. There's something really special about being in God's creation. And so, like I said, we're going to be a little bit interactive tonight. So what we're going to do, you're going to take 30 seconds or a minute to get out your phone. You can get it out now. And I want you to find a picture that's meaningful to you on your phone. It could be something scenic like this. It could be like a city skyline, or maybe a picture of family or friends, maybe a special pet. Take 30 seconds, and then what we're going to do is to turn to the person next to you and to just share what that picture is, why it's special, why you marvel at God's creation when you look at that picture. So keep it really brief. Have you got that picture yet? Still searching? Don't search too hard. It can be just any sort of nice picture on your phone. And then we're going to take about 2 minutes just to share that with the person next to you. All right, 10 seconds left. Finish that thought or that sentence. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, let's bring it back. Our life with our three young kids is all about countdowns. Everything's a countdown. Come to the table, have dinner. All right, 3, 2. So countdowns are great. This morning we spent time in John 20, which tells us about Jesus' resurrection. We started with Mary going to Jesus' tomb. She was overwhelmed. She just experienced this brutal, gruesome execution of Jesus, who she loved. But then the story ends with hope, an empty tomb, a resurrected Jesus in the garden saying to Mary, like, here I am, Mary, calling her by name, by saying to his disciples, peace be with you. And we finish with this. I loved how Andy really highlighted the commission, the great commission that was relevant for those disciples and is relevant to us now. So go and spread the gospel, the hope that we now have as we are equipped with the Holy Spirit. What an amazing turnaround. Have you noticed that God's plan often involves bringing something beautiful out of what was a mess or something chaotic? Something that had been cut down and destroyed. Sometimes even creating something beautiful out of something that was once dead. Have you noticed that before, that pattern? So tonight we're going to dive into the first little bit of John 20. And we're also going to look at Genesis 1. And I hope you see this link between them. And I've really enjoyed just opening up my Bible over the last couple of weeks. And so my title for the sermon tonight, if you're taking notes, if we have that slide up, is From a Wasteland to a Garden. from a wasteland to a garden. Let's pray before we go any further. God, we just thank you for church and that we can come together in community and focus our attention on you. So focus our attention on you. We thank you for this morning and just Resurrection Sunday. We thank you for worship and Jesus, forever your name be glorified. We pray that tonight it wouldn't be about you know our own intellect or what we know or how clever we can be. I pray that tonight would be about giving you all the glory, all the praise as you deserve. We thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in all of our lives. In your name, amen. So as we go through tonight, keep that picture in the back of your mind and what it means to you, how you marvel at God's creation when you see that photo. The first point I'd love to bring up tonight is that creation is in God's nature. Creation is in God's nature. In your prayer or your worship times, have you ever said, God, our creator? Have you said that in worship or prayer before? Maybe if someone's asked you, who is God? Your reply has been, well, God is the creator. He made everything. It's a common description of God. Isaiah describes it this way in Isaiah 40 verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. The creator of the ends of the earth. And sometimes that word, creator of everything, of the world, it can roll off the tongue a little bit too easily. God the creator. For the writers of the Bible, this phrase or this thought, God the creator, it was never said lightly. It meant everything. And so tonight we're going to unpack this thought, God the creator, and hopefully put the significance back into that phrase. I pray that we'd have revelation tonight of this. And I'm also would love your help as we go on this little journey together as we open up God's word. And so we're going to start in Genesis 1. So get out your Bibles or your phones. Genesis 1. We'll have it on the screen as well. And let's read it together. In fact, I'm going to pick on Zach. Zach, do you want to read it out for us? Seeing as you didn't want to sit in the front row with me. Because we're doing this together, okay? Yeah, with the microphone. You can just read it off the screen.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
Thank you, Zach. Give him a hand. Well read. In verse 1, we're told that God created the heavens and the earth. And verse 2 is what we're going to dive into a little bit tonight. We're going to explore some of the words in this. And like I said, we're going to do this together. So I need some interaction from you. I need you to be a little bit brave to give us some input tonight. So what we're going to do, if we have the next slide up, just the verse 2, we're going to take 30 seconds to have a look at that. Just turn to the person next to you and just let them know what word kind of stands out to you straight away, or maybe a picture or thought. 30 seconds, so turn to the person next to you. Did you read it? All right, you should all be able to read it now. So turn to the person next to you, I'm looking. What's the word, what's like just the first word that maybe jumps out at you? All right, 10 seconds, another countdown coming. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'd just like to really acknowledge and honour some of our young adults, actually, who have been doing a Bible course. I've committed to this kind of 8-9 session course, and we're going through the Bible together. And the breakout groups has been like just such a joy to me and something I've learned so much from. In fact, this sermon really came out of some thoughts that some of the young adults had on my table. And I wanted to repeat this exercise because I found it so valuable for myself. So what we're going to do is, this is where you come in, and if anyone's brave enough, I'd like you to kind of yell out a word or picture that kind of kind of stood out to you, and we're going to explore that together tonight. So who has something that they want to share? Otherwise, I might pick on people. Just a word that kind of stood out to you. Is anyone brave enough? Yep.
Kind of like a couple of face of the deep.
We see face of the waters. What's the picture you get in your head when you think of that? Like a hole, yeah. Anyone else? Face of the deep. I love hearing what picture comes to mind. Who's got another picture for what they think of? Yeah, image. God hovering over the water. Someone else who was over. Dan, what did you think of?
Hovering.
Okay, it's an interesting word, isn't it? Hovering. I like it. Anyone else? Face of the deep, face of the waters? Who else? What's another picture?
Spirit of God.
Okay, Spirit of God. Like a dove, yep. Hovering. What do you think Spirit of God was hovering? That's great. That's really interesting. But what was he hovering over? Or what's the thought that comes to mind? Just to help complete this little picture. What's kind of your picture of the deep? Yeah, Matt? An empty world? Yep. Okay. Any other thoughts? Hang on, can you just say this into the mic so people can hear?
So I'm thinking of like a sensory deprivation tank where your senses are almost useless and all you know is that you're in water and like there's not any real sound or anything, so.
Cool, okay. So let's have a look at the waters to start with. And if we could have, Pete, sorry, I'm just finding what slide. If we could have slide 16, the video there. All right, face of the waters. There's a psalm that says, who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. Some other translations say the raging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. And you can keep that up as we just think about this. Face of the waters, or the deep. And as I just get to my notes, there's a few thoughts about the ocean. And even in today's time, when you think about the ocean, even though we have like amazing ships and planes and all these amazing man-made things, the ocean's still a terrifying place, isn't it? I think back to 2004 Boxing Day tsunami. I was 13, and some of you may remember the images of this wall of water just destroying everything, and nothing could stop it, right? Nothing could stop it. You don't have to go too far in the Bible after the creation story to read about Noah's Ark and the flood, and the devastation that these waters bring as they cover the face of the earth again. And so like what you get back in this Genesis 1, that decreation. In Psalm, I don't have the Psalm for this up on the screen, but Psalm 74, verse 13 to 15 is a real kind of interesting psalm. It says, it was you, the God, who split open the sea by your power. You broke the heads of the monsters in the waters. Like sea monsters. There's like sea monsters and things in the waters. If we could go to the next slide, I think it is. Pete? Yep, that was that's a psalm about the sea monsters. And these deep waters, kind of what gets invoked a bit as you think about these waters is that it's not really a safe place to be. It's not like a bad, evil thing. It's just not a safe place for us to be. It's a dangerous, untamable force. It's unpredictable. You're not going to last long in those seas, are you? And then some people were alluding to, what's the next thing that we talked about? That Spirit of God hovering. That's an interesting one. If we can go to, actually, before we go to that, can I have a couple more thoughts? What do you think that kind of looks like, Spirit of God hovering? Again, let's go with the pictures because I find that really interesting. What's kind of the picture that comes to mind? Yep. Yeah, okay. Paying his full attention. Yep. Cool. That's an interesting thought, yeah. Anyone else? Protection. Yep. 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 Who else? A big mist covering the earth. If we could go to slide 18, this is the picture I had about hovering. Like this eagle just effortlessly cruising on the, you know, on the current, and there's no, you know, it's not flapping, or it's just kind of hovering. The Spirit of God was hovering. And I love that we're like paying attention as well. Like it's, you know, it's not like we're kind of overwhelmed and like don't know where to look. It's like, no, I'm like hovering, I'm in control. And we don't have time to go into it tonight, but I was reading a commentary by Pastor Paul Labugia, pastor at Calvary Chapel, Ontario. He did the Deep Dive series. And he mentioned that how in verse 1, 2, and 3, we see the triune God in this as well, which is just fascinating. But the word hovering, let's have a look at that. The Spirit of God is hovering. Hovering over, it's like a spatial position. Joyce, you kind of said it like protecting, like it's covering, isn't it? It has those connotations of ruling over or being in charge of, having jurisdiction over. God wasn't subject to these chaotic waters that we saw an image of before. He wasn't being thrown about, he was hovering over. In fact, all other religions of the ancient Near East at the time when this was written, their view of creation was these lower G gods that were fighting and struggling and battling, often within the ocean, trying to tame it, like a really violent, bloody struggle, trying their best to subdue it. Spirit of God was hovering. This is groundbreaking. God wasn't fighting. There was no struggle. He was just hovering. That word hovering has those connotations of being relaxed. And what better image do we have of Jesus calming the sea and the storm? And I had that verse up. Maybe just flick back one to that. Matthew 14, verse 24. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land. We read about how the boat the disciples were in being buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And then we see this image of Jesus walking on the lake, hovering over the raging waters. Interesting kind of link. And we don't have time to go into many more, but I just want to summarize one other. If we can go to slide 8, Pete. And a few people mentioned it before, but this formless and void, that's something I wanted to look into because it can be hard to understand. And the Hebrew words are tohu and verbohu. Tohu and verbohu. If we could flick to the next slide. This image of tohu, formless, it comes up quite a bit in the Bible, and it's interesting because Deuteronomy 32 verse 10, it's a song that Moses is singing at the commissioning of Joshua, and he talks about Israel and how God found them. It says, in a desert land, God, he found him, which is Israel, in a barren and howling waste. This barren and howling waste is the same word as tohu, which we read about in Genesis 1 verse 2. If we could flick to the next one, there's another instance where Job is talking about his friends that have kind of thrown him under the bus, and they say they've acted deceitfully like a brook, and it's like this picture of this really healthy, great river that kind of, as it winds its way around, it just gets smaller and dissipates and evaporates into maybe something like this, like just a dry, empty creek bed. If we could flick to the next one. So tohu, like a wasteland, wilderness, desert, uninhabitable place. Flick to the next one again, Pete. Verbohu, which means void, so formless and then void. And this word void only comes up a couple of times in the Bible. Isaiah uses it as he's talking about the nations and the judgment that's going to come against them. And he talks about this desolation that's going to come and the plumb line of emptiness. If you look kind of like this video, you're like the emptiness, the desolation, the way that these nations are measured or the foundation of it. It's not like a, you know, sporting achievements or significant landmarks or celebrities. It's like your reference point is nothing, emptiness. And so if we can flick back to just slide 6, Pete, Genesis 1, verse 2. The earth was without form and void, a desolate wasteland. No life there, uninhabitable. And darkness was over the face of the deep, over these raging, chaotic waters. But the Spirit of God was hovering and had power, jurisdiction, control over the face of the waters. So the picture we're getting is this place that is chaotic, uninhabitable. It's not evil. It's just like, we're not going to have life in this place. But we see that God is in control, which is just groundbreaking compared to what other people believed of the lower G gods. God has authority. And then we get the creation story. God creates a beautiful garden for Adam and Eve out of this nothingness, this kind of empty, formless void. If we could flick through to the next couple of videos. From slide 20, Pete. So out of this wasteland, God creates like everything, the heavens and the earth, like the world. He creates the intricate flowers and just the level of detail. It's amazing. We think of the garden that he creates for Adam and Eve, just this lush, like, place full of life. And then he fills it with animals, he fills it with humans. Creation, not just out of nothing, but creation out of chaos. It's like this really big plot twist. As you start reading it, you're like, this is not going in a good place. Like, there's nothing here. But then suddenly God creates. We learn something about God, that creation is in his nature. And a couple of weeks ago, Andy shared this picture. It is slide 24 of the links throughout the Bible, which is really cool. You know, like all those lines representing a link from one part of the Bible to another, or a prophecy that was fulfilled. And along the bottom, you see all the books of the Bible or the chapters of the Bible. Amazing, just the links that are through here. What we see is this pattern repeats, that God is not just in the business of creating, but his heart is to redeem his people, to restore, to make whole, to bring to completion, to reconcile. If we could have the next slide. We see this word redeem come up in the Bible, and this is a psalm where it comes up. David says of God, who redeems your life from the pits, from this lifeless, uninhabitable place, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Psalm 19, verse 14, he says, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. My rock and my redeemer. And that word redeem or redemption means to release by payment, or freed by ransom. It could be a slave receiving freedom. It could be a woman that has no future or inheritance who is being widowed, and she's, her future is bleak. Being redeemed by a kinsman redeemer like Boaz, who came into Ruth's life and restored her, who was responsible for protecting the family line. Ruth redeems, free from hopelessness, because now she had a future as they could continue the family line. Creation is in God's nature. His heart is to redeem the lost. Creation is in God's nature. His heart is to redeem the lost. And this pattern of creation, of redemption, it culminates at Jesus' death and resurrection. We see a similar picture of a wasteland turned into a garden. So let's have a quick look at this pattern. So open up your Bibles to John 20. And we're not going to read much of it because we heard it this morning. But for those of you that weren't there, just to recap, we heard this story of Mary who goes to the tomb where Jesus should have been after his crucifixion, and just how overwhelmed, stressful that moment was. The disciples that come to have a look at why the stone is rolled away, and they kind of they believe, but they run off scared, and Mary's still left weeping in the garden, just not knowing what's going on. And then she meets Jesus, the gardener, in the garden, and she doesn't recognize him, but when he calls Mary by name, it's like the scales fall off, and she just clings to him, hugs him. And then from there, we see the commissioning that Jesus brings. He says to his disciples, "Peace be with you." And so let's have a look at these couple of links between John 20 and Genesis 1 verse 2. I thought were really cool. So we have the next slide up, I think it is. John 20 verse 1. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb." First day of the week. This is interesting. We think about how Genesis started in the beginning, and that word beginning in Hebrew has connotations of the first in place and time. And this is all happening. Mary Magdalene's in the garden on the first day of the week. A cool little link. If we go to the next slide. She came to the tomb early while it was still dark. Where's Mary going? She's going to a tomb. What kind of place is a tomb? It's not for living. Like, you don't want to really live in a tomb. It's dark. There's nothing in there. There's no food in there. It's made for something that's dead. Sounds a little bit like this place we're reading about in Genesis 1 verse 2, about this formless void, this like barren wilderness. There's no life available there. She's going there while it's still dark. And we see in Genesis 1 verse 2, darkness covers the earth. You think about her headspace as she's traveling or making her way to this tomb early in the morning while it's still dark, just how overwhelmed she was. And you painted a really great picture of how she would have felt in that moment. Think of how you would have been, like just the stress and anxiety, like, you know, what's going on? I've just seen Jesus get crucified on a cross. Like, am I, like, are they going to get me, maybe? Or, like, what's happened? Like, this wasn't the way it was supposed to happen. A bit like when you're in a dark place and you kind of lose all reference point of where you are. While it was still dark. It's almost like we're being painted this chaotic, raging water or this barren desert place. There's not meant to be any life there. And then like in Genesis 1 verse 2, we kind of, the Spirit of God is hovering over this place. And it's like, something's going on here. Like the story's taking a bit of a turn. And we get something similar in John 20, if you open up your Bibles. Verse 1, 5 and 7, it talks about Mary, as we've just spoken about, going to the tomb while it's still dark, and just that kind of image we're getting. In verse 5, we see Peter and John looking into the tomb and seeing the linen wrappings there. And then in verse 7, we read about this face cloth which they've seen. Again, Andy did a really good job of just explaining that this morning. I encourage you to go back and have a listen. Folded linen wrappings. Who enjoys folding washing? Anyone? Anyone enjoy folding washing? No, Raul? Raul enjoys folding. Raul, when you're folding washing, are you like running as fast as you can to fold something and then, no? How are you like kind of relaxing watching TV? Yeah? So like fold something, you kind of have to be a little bit relaxed, right? If you try and do it really rushed, you're just going to have another pile of unfolded washing.
Can you picture Jesus in the tomb, like just folding up this linen cloth, like that hovering kind of relaxed authority, jurisdiction over this place that should be chaotic, like horrible, dark, place where there's no life, yet Jesus just calmly folding his the linen face cloth. Spirit of God hovering over the waters. If we could have the next slide, please. So we see this pattern, this picture is formed of what was hopeless, chaotic. Now something's been created. This order's being restored. God is in control. What should have been a tomb with a dead body, we see is actually a garden where Jesus is alive, who is actually the gardener. Again, the gardener having that control, that authority, jurisdiction over the garden. These are just, for me, these were jumping off the page as I was thinking about this. Mary goes from weeping at the tomb to standing in a garden before Jesus Christ. Verse 11, where it talks about Mary weeping. Verse 14 to 16, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Mary goes from weeping near a tomb to seeing Jesus in the garden, having her name called out by Jesus. The hope and the joy that came with that were her just circumstances and headspace changed in an instant. This leads us to a revelation that in Jesus we have redemption. Through his blood, a ransom by his death and the freedom by the riches of his grace. Victory not by anything we have done, but victory because of what Jesus has done through his death and his resurrection. Ephesians 1 verse 7 to 8, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight." And I've summarized just a couple of thoughts from Pastor John Piper about what redemption means for the Christian, and we're almost done here. Redemption means released by payment, freed by ransom, freedom for whatever is holding you in bondage. If we could go to the next slide. Freedom from what? Or what, like, what is this redemption about? That Ephesians 1 verse 7 to 8 verse that we read is the immediate. The redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Romans 8 verse 23 is like talks about this future redemption. And again, Andy talked about this morning. The redemption of our bodies. And then we also have the present, or I like to think about it as the now, but not yet. So this period of waiting. The precious blood of Jesus Christ redeemed you from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. 1 Peter verse 1 to 18 to 19. This redemption from our sinful ways, the old ways of living. For the believer, we have redemption in Jesus. For the unbeliever, redemption is on offer. What a remarkable thing, right? Against the backdrop of chaos, of a place where there shouldn't be any life, there shouldn't be any hope. God not only creates, but he redeems. God not only creates, but he redeems. And I'd just love to invite Imogen, Cam, and Steph up again. I'd just love to finish with a short time of just of worship and time to reflect on this. I never really thought about the link between the creation story and Jesus' resurrection and how we can apply this to our life. The past couple of weeks, I've found that as I go for a walk and just look at the creation around me, like I should be reminded not only that God, you're the creator of everything, but Jesus, you saved my life. You redeemed me. You redeemed me from the pit. It's been such an amazing time for me personally just to kind of reframe my mind or kind of just refocus on what I should be focusing on, to give God the glory, to take my eyes off myself and my own situations. When we see God's creation, we can also be reminded of his nature, his heart to redeem the lost. Like that picture that you might have brought up earlier. Like you see that picture and it's not just like a sunset or it's not just a family photo. It's got all these things that you start thinking about and being reminded of. It's the same thing with God's creation, right? When we see these links, what a beautiful thing that when we see God's creation, let's be reminded of the redemption that's on offer to us. When we see God's creation, we can be reminded that the death and the grave have no hold, that Jesus has defeated death, the grave, the chaotic, raging sea. And Jesus ushers in new creation, the redemption of his people, to be reunited with him for eternity. And so the question we're left with, do we want to accept this gift or not? Andy last week in the evening service put it this way. As you think about your life, when all is said and done, like it should be about what the Lord does in us and then through us. That's what we're here for. It's about what the Lord does in us and then can do through us. Creation is in God's nature. His heart is to redeem the lost. And so we're just going to take a few moments to have some ministry time, and the team are going to play a song that I heard recently, and it talks about this, God's nature to redeem. And so three things that are encouraging. You can choose one of them for this space of time. It could be just to reflect and think about the lyrics as they sing and let them wash over you. If you feel like you're in the darkness, in the chaos, in the pit, in this place at the moment, it's just hard to see that creation or that redemption or just things changing. You're like in the thick of it right now. We'd love to pray for you. Please either come to either side and the pastor or elder will pray for you. Or perhaps you just want to dwell in the Word of God. And I've got just on the stairwell, which you're welcome to go and grab if you want. But Graham put together this little booklet. It's on the armour of God. And it's got a whole lot of verses and things. But on the back, he's got a bunch of victory scriptures. And he gave this to us to use at our young adults camp. And it's just such a great resource. I've got just a few on either end of the stairwell, which you can grab or grab on your way out. But perhaps in this time, you just want to read through those victory scriptures, or maybe there's a verse that is meaningful to you and you just want to look that up and think about it. Creation is in God's nature. His heart is to redeem the lost. So let's just pray together and then I'll hand over to the team to lead us in this time of worship. God, our Creator, you created the heavens and the earth. What an amazing thing that you have displayed your glory and your splendor, the authority you have all around us. We thank you for that. And we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son. Jesus, we exalt you for the amazing sacrifice you made for us. And that through your resurrection, the grave, death, sin has no hold over us as we get to walk in your victory. Thank you that we can be adopted as sons and daughters of the living God. Thank you that you showed us who the Father is. We just pray that, again, we just want to glorify you. We just pray for that you would just open up your word to us, that we would come away with something new that we can think about, that we can use in our times of prayer and worship. We pray that your word, the truth, that it would set us free from the things we're struggling with, or the things we just can't seem to get a hold of, for the things we keep falling back into, for the chaos in our lives, for the dead things in our lives. We give them over to you and we say, God, please create something new. Please create a beautiful garden out of this mess. Thank you that you redeem us, that redemption is on offer. Jesus, we magnify you. We glorify your name. We thank you, Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.